and the world famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com every night till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And it's great to be with you guys as we head into this weekend. And we have a special guest with us this evening, a guy who made an appearance today on the Bobby Dooley podcast and made a rather successful appearance. People were enjoying it immensely. His name is Jay Sanos. You've heard him before. But we've never had Jay in studio, Jay. And this is a rare treat to have you here to talk about what you do, which is the whole area of security I know you don't like the word volunteer because you consider yourself to be a bona fide police officer.
Well, you know, it's thank you, Phil, for having me on a program. I really appreciate it.
Hello, Jay. How are you?
Good, Margaret. Robert and Bud.
Yeah. Hey, Jay, you want something to drink or something?
No, I'm okay.
Right behind you, Jay. I'm General Shaw.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's General Shaw behind you, Jay.
Oh, how do you do, sir? I've heard you great law thing about you and everything.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you.
Thank you, sir.
So, Jay, we've got you on a program tonight, and we want to talk about security, and we want to talk about what you do as a volunteer. But again, you don't like that term, so we're going to try to find some word. But the Citizens Auxiliary Police, how would you best describe the Citizens Auxiliary Police to people who have not ever heard of it before and don't know anything about it?
Well, thank you, Phil. That's a question, actually, that I do get quite a bit. People will say, how would you do that? You know, I'd like you to come and speak to a group that we have. We'd like you to come down to the library, whatever you want to say. Come down to the library, you know, we go down to the library all the time, you know.
Would you go down to the library to talk to people?
Yeah, we go down to the library and address people, and I'm Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police. A lot of times we do, what we have, Phil, is a safety program for elderly people in a South Bay area. You got to understand, Citizens Auxiliary Police cover South Bay.
Now, what part of L.A. is the South Bay?
Well, I don't really know. I mean,
why don't you know?
I use the term South Bay because it sounds, you know, it sounds cool. You know,
We're talking Hawthorne.
Yeah, Hawthorne and that area that borders. It's closer to the beach areas, right? Rosecrans, all that. All that, you know, El Segundo, all that, and really, and all the neighborhood area, and that's what we do. We patrol in a Citizens Auxiliary vans, which are the SUVs our wives drive, but they let us have them on the weekend. As I mentioned, Ms. Dooley on her podcast today, that we use. Well,
you use each other's houses as the jails, right?
What do you mean a jail?
Yeah, see, that's you. You're not putting people in jail, are you?
No, we are not putting nobody in jail, but we're going to stop you and certainly going to want to take a peek if we see you acting in a suspect. But we're not going to do, for instance, Phil, we don't haul in curfew violators. We don't haul in, unless, of course, we see the commission of a crime right then when it's being commissioned, and then we're going to call up the police. But what we do is we look around and try to be preemptive and preventative. I'm trying to say the word there, preventative. Right. Well, you're an announcer. You do it so good, Phil. Say it again.
Preventative. You try to keep it from happening.
Right. We try to keep it from happening before it does. And so that's why in the summertime we're...
The bikini. Tell people about the bikinis.
Right. One summer, we noticed a lot of young girls was going in and buying a little skimpy, and this is not my business, it's your parents, but there does come a time when you step over the line, Citizens Auxiliary Police going to have to step in. It's what we call putting our wingtip in it, because our uniform, by the way, is a pith helmet.
Right, pith helmet, Bermuda shorts.
Yeah, Bermuda shorts, and a pith helmet, and an armband.
If you got it right there, bud?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a flyer that we send around. We put that in the mailboxes, and that shows right there, that's a typical Citizens Auxiliary Police uniform there. See a Bermuda short, knee socks, and wingtip, and a pith helmet, and that's a shirt right there. See, there's a blue armband right there. See it right there?
Yes, I do. I see that.
Yeah, see, that's blue arm. That's the blue armband is what is the, you can't counterfeit. That's the part where if they don't have no blue armband, they are not Citizens Auxiliary Police.
All right, now you go back to what you were saying about what are the different, you know...
Well, let me, Margaret, to anticipate you, this is General Shaw behind you.
Oh, yes, sir. I forgot.
That's all right. I'm very awkward.
Would it help if you moved over here, General?
Well, then I'd be sitting on top of that stuffed animal.
I'll move the stuffed animal.
Well, all right. No, I like this chair, though.
Hey, he's closer to vanilla wafer.
Yes, I'm closer to the food.
All right.
Jay, give me an example of something that... You were mentioning the girls in the bikini, right?
Right. The girl in the bikini, these are girls during the summertime, or going in stores, going in shop, go to a mall, or what have you, right? And what happened was, the girls was coming out, and that summer, girls were wearing bikinis, and they were wearing a little skimpy deal. And you could see, and I'm saying this as a father, I'm a father, Phil. I'm not a father of a daughter, I'm a father of a son. But nonetheless, I'm a father. And
You're a father?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
All right.
And so I stop him because what they're doing and what they was doing or what they were doing, they were putting on her bikini and there was cleavage, if you can call it, but it's not breast cleavage. It was rear, what we call rear cleave.
Why do you call it rear cleave?
Well, it's all police shorthand.
Yeah, they got to do the shorthand on a police thing.
Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
When we're out on a call, when we go out, and we're on a walkie-talkie, well, we're going to use police code. If I use rear cleave or rear crack, we know what that means.
So you have an actual police code for if a girl is wearing a bikini bottom that's too small?
No, ma'am. That's not what we have. If a girl is wearing you could call it that. But really, what we're looking for is specifically.
You want to say the word specifically?
Well, who's saying that?
I'm right behind you. This is General Shaw.
Oh, I'm so sorry, sir.
Yeah, I think you should move, General. I think you need to move over here.
No, I don't want to move. Mr. Santos should you know I'm here.
Yes, sir. I do know you're there, but when I hear this voice come out of nowhere,
it's coming from behind you, though, Jay.
You are absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
Your ass? See, you've got a fixation on ass.
No, sir, I do not. No, sir.
Well, all right, so you're pulling or you're stopping girls who are coming out of clothing stores and you're looking through their bags to make sure that their bikinis fit?
That is correct, yeah.
How do you determine if a girl's bikini fits?
At that time, we do ask young lady, step inside of our police van or the SUV, and to just slip into it, come out for no more, and we time it because we don't want no lawsuits, right? We time it no more than 15 seconds, so there's just a quick look. We don't touch. We don't take pictures. We do just a quick scope. And we'll have a girl turn around, we'll scope it up and down. If we see crack, okay, we got some problems. Go back inside, put on your pants, your jeans, your dress, come on back out. Well, I got to write a citation or at least detain you.
Okay, a lot of what you're saying, Jay, is very interesting. And a lot of it, I'm sure, there are parents that just absolutely go nuts over this stuff.
That is true. But we've never had no problem with that. Because we're Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we don't have specifically the...
What did I say specifically? You mean specifically?
That's right. What did I say?
You said specifically.
I'm sorry. But I will say one thing, that judge in Casey Anthony, he goes Pacific, and no one said boo. He was black, so, you know.
Well, what has that got to do with anything?
Yeah, that got nothing to do with nothing. He's a judge.
Judge Belvin Perry, right?
Yes, sir. He said pacifically, and I just said it, and everybody's coming down on me. I'll tell you. Well, it's a hardball, kind of a hardball show to be on, Phil.
All right, well, we'll try and be easy with you here. We got Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police talking about some of the security methods that he employs with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a controversial unit, to be sure, because they are civilian. They are not necessarily an official arm, a law enforcement arm of government. They are a band of citizens, as they say, a group of citizens looking to, quote, look over the shoulder of the police to make sure the police are doing everything possible to secure these neighborhoods. It's quite an unusual group, and we're going to get back to talking with Jay about the Citizens Auxiliary Police and other topics tonight, ahead on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Be sure to visit us online at philhendryshow.com for a backstage pass, your chance to be a part of it's not even a chance. You can enter, you know, the nightclub anytime you want. You can go behind the velvet rope and be a part of our BSP family and access thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of radio that I guarantee you. I'm not just saying, I guarantee you've never heard anything like before in your life. And that's just sort of what we do around here. We create radio shows that you've never heard before, the likes of which you've never heard before in your life. Jay Sanis is with us. I just want to make one other point because...
Now, this whole thing with the app...
Let me just say this. I'm not paying $20,000 for an app. As you know, we are looking at creating an app for the Phil Hendry Show where you can access our show live. It will be exclusive to us, and you won't have to go through this, that, or something else, okay? What I'm trying to do, because there's never been an opportunity like this before in the history of radio, I can have direct contact with my audience. I ain't got to go through TuneIn. I don't have to go through Pandora. I don't have to go through this, that, okay? But I will not.
You're going to pay $20,000.
I'm not going to pay 20 G's for an app. Got that? Now, I happen to know, this being America, I can put that job out for a bid. I'll just take bids on that gig, and I guarantee you we'll save some money that way. So that's what we're going to do. And I would very strongly recommend that if you're in the business of supporting people such as myself, developing apps, for instance, or whatever it is, developing websites, that you become a little bit more competitive and understand it's a hardball world. I know you guys have got all kinds of skills, and, you know.
Yeah, they got mad skills.
Yeah, okay, they got mad skill or whatever.
You know, a lot of kids are, if I say something, Phil.
Go ahead. Jay Sanis is with us, by the way. I'm sorry, Jay.
Right. A lot of the kids today know about doing apps, and they know how to do a website. They can develop website, create websites. My own son, Browner, is a young man who is very heavily steeped in the internet and all of everything. He's created games. He has created a lot of stuff, and right now he's got a job testing out video games, that kind of thing.
What is your son's name?
My son's name is Browner.
Your son is Brown. That's a very interesting name.
Yeah, he's named after his grandfather.
That was your father?
No, it's my wife's father. That was his last name.
Oh, your wife's maiden name is Browner.
That's correct. Yeah.
Oh well, usually they will give. I say they, Jay. I mean, usually parents will give a child as the middle name, the surname of the mother, but that's his first name.
Yes, that's right. A lot of people were doing that. They would say, like, like J. Bernardo Sanos. That would be my mother's maiden name was Bernard. Excuse me for a minute. It was Bernardo. My mother's maiden name was. Oh God.
I know that you have a difficult time because of your accent.
That's right. I can't say L's, and sometimes it's very difficult for me to say R. My mother's maiden name was Bernardo.
Bernardo.
Right. And so they named me James, or J. They named me James J. Now I forget what my name is. No, I'm sorry. It's J. Bernardo Sanos.
Okay. But you named your son?
Right. We dispensed with the whole, I said, well, what, just give him the name. You got to call him Browner. Let's call him Browner. I said, that's a very dignified name.
Browner Santos.
Right.
Do people give him a hard time?
There have been people calling him, hey, Santos, are you going to get any Browner? How, you know, and all that. And I'll just say to my son, I'll say, son, you know, it's going to toughen you up. Just like that song, boy named, forget the name of that song, a boy named Jane or
Sue. The Boy Named Sue by Johnny Cash.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah, that was a song about a guy that was named Sue by his father. Ostensibly so it would make him tougher, but the father in that song was a ne'er-do-well drunken slob that his son winds up meeting one night in a bar. Doesn't know it's his own father, and they wind up getting into a fist fight, right?
I don't know anything about it. It sounds disgusting.
What are you talking about? It's a great song.
Yeah, you never heard Johnny Cash?
Of course I've heard Johnny Cash. I don't know anything about a boy named Sue.
Yeah, well, that was a song, Miss Gray.
Yeah, Margaret...
The song "Boy Named Sue" was a big hit. I was in Vietnam when it came out, and everybody enjoyed it. A boy named Sue, doodly doodly do. A boy named Sue, doodly do. A boy named Sue. You would love the song.
That wasn't the song at all.
No, it's not what I remember.
What do you mean that? What? Yes, it certainly was the song.
No, the song. What do you sing it again?
Daryl, you don't know.
Hold on, bud.
The song "A Boy Named Sue" by Johnny Cash.
Yes.
It went, Margaret, you should do, it went, "A boy named Sue, how do you do? Boy named Sue, woo, a boy named Sue, woo, woo." I can't do it, Barry. I'm not a singer.
Well, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
Well, that's not how the song went.
Well, I tell you what you do, Sunshine. You tell me how the song went then.
The song went,
well, I called you Sunshine.
Yeah, I know, and he knows I don't like that. General, the song went like this. I forget.
Well, you nuts or something? You got the general right where you want him, and you can't even remember the name of the song?
Now it sounds like the general's right.
Thank you very much, Margaret. So I got you and Bud.
Well, Phil, I don't know what you're talking. That's the song that I remember.
It didn't go anything like that.
Well, how'd it go?
I can't remember. All I remember is the last lyric was, "If I ever have a son, I'll name him George, Joe, anything but Sue." Because, you know, you think that he's going to be glad that his father named him Sue because it did make him tough because he had to fight all these guys that were giving him a hard time. But at the end of the song, Johnny Cash sings, you know, "I will name my son anything but Sue," so he doesn't have to deal with all this stuff.
That was this, I don't know anything about a song like that. The song I know called "A Boy Named Sue" was a light, it was a happy, robust, it was a waltz, as I remember, and as you know, Phil...
A waltz?
Yes, a waltz.
Well, wait a minute, Phil, maybe he's talking about a different boy named Sue.
Well, how many boys named Sue are there?
No, this is a different song.
I'm talking about a different song.
Well, it's almost a mystery, General Shaw. We put the Citizens Auxiliary Police on it.
No, we don't need you guys on this. This was... By the way, can I ask a question? This is, do you know an organization called the Bay Area, it's called the Bay Area People's Battalion?
Yes, sir. That's the Bay Area version of the Citizens Auxiliary. That's the Bay Area version of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You know them?
Well, yes. I ran into two of these jokers when I was up there about 3 weeks ago. They'd had some bank robbery. I was told to spread. So that's who you guys are.
No, sir, I'm not. No, hold on for a minute, sir. I am not any, you know.
Well, Jay, that's very interesting because you had on our program, we had Roy Biskey on, and you told him to spread.
I've told people spread. There's no question about that. There's no question at all about it. You meet Jay Santos, there's a very good chance you'll be told spread it. But I do not at all acknowledge any connection with the Bay Area People Battalion.
Well, they said that they were like a volunteer police, and they said, "Get on the wall and spread it." And I said, "I'm going to do what?" And they pinned me up against this wall, and I'll tell you, they let me go and ran because they knew that I was so angry I could have torn them apart. I could have gone, I would have thrown that place into the street. Why are you laughing? Henry, don't laugh.
Sorry. All right. I don't know, but that sounds like a group of people that would be allied with the organization.
I am very familiar with the Bay Area People's Battalion, General. I know Larry Kugner, and I know his brother, Sal.
Well, who is Larry Kugner? What is wrong with Henry?
What's wrong with you, Phil?
I'm laughing!
Well, Phil, we're talking about crime fighting. Yeah, that's funny.
I think the name Larry Kugner's funny.
Oh, you know, General, if you want, I'll talk to you later on.
No, I don't know. No. I don't want this to turn into a taster, like the guy said on the movie, a taster's choice moment for men. No, I don't want to get up close and personal. Do you know the Bay Area People's Battalion?
I was going to say, General, I know Larry Kugner, his brother Sal, and Vince Eppolino. Those are the three founders of the Bay Area People's Battalion. I don't know anything about their methods. I do not vouch for their methods.
But Mr. Henry said that you have told people to spread.
I have told people to spread, but I'll tell you right now, if I tell someone to spread, I'm going to hang around. There ain't, you know, and I don't mean to be crude, but if someone spreads, you're going to hang around and get...
Slow down.
Sorry. You're going to hang around and deal with it, and I'm not going to run.
Well, that's what these jokers did. They ran as soon as I got on the wall and spread it, like these two idiots said, and they patted me up and down, and then they ran.
Were they doing it inappropriately?
No, but yes, by asking me to spread. And I didn't want to spread.
You mean, are you talking about being frisked?
Yes, but that's what they called it. They called it the spread out.
That's true. You know, they might have got a whole one of our training manuals.
What?
All right.
Phil, you're talking to Jay Santos.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I don't want to get into a whole discussion. I'm just telling you that we're going to provide an app for our listeners. We're going to provide an app for anybody that wants to hear the radio show live. And it's not going to be, I'm not going to go out and start doing a handstand for this man. I want it, and I want it now. You understand, bud?
Yeah, but you got to understand, man. Just if you want to be on an Apple phone, yeah, standardize it.
I don't care. Apple, I'm not asking anything other than an app that makes the show available live. I'm not saying if. I'm saying when. It's going to happen. And whoever wants to bid the job, if they want to do it sooner than the other guys, they want to do it. I'm telling you right now. You know, I want to see some bids on this before I just start throwing 20 G's around for an iPhone app.
Well, Phil, you can't start hardballing people.
I'm not hardballing it. What I would like to see is a little good old-fashioned American competition on this thing. And I've got nothing against, I know some great developers and all the guys that we're talking about, everybody that I know, they're great people. But I just want to see a little competitive bidding there.
I'll tell you right now, Phil,
by the way, hold on, Jay. We have Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. In studio with us is also General Galen Shaw, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard. Go ahead.
I was going to say my son, Browner, has a small business. He developed some websites, Go Brown. And what we've done...
That's the name of his company?
Yeah, Go Brown. Well, I asked him to change to Go Brown. He wanted to say Go Browner, and I said that's going to be kind of a racial... And
why do you say that?
Yeah, how's that racial?
Go Browner. It's going to sound like a slam on a white man. And what I'm trying to do.
No, that's no slam. That's the, excuse me for saying, sir, that's the most asinine thing.
Wait a minute. You didn't want to use your son's name. Your son's name is Browner.
That's correct. My son wanted to name his company, his development company for websites, and everything called Go Browner. And I said, son, that's a slap right across white man's face. And
why is that?
Are you kidding? Go Browner?
Well, so you're...
You... Excuse me, I had to belch. You are...
What's with all the belching around here? Well, it sure is a lot of belching.
Well, don't let your police instincts get the better of you there, Santos. Like you... Do you want to investigate everyone belching? Is that it?
Say, what's your problem? You know, hold on for a minute.
I've got no problem. If you want to buy one, though, I can certainly look around and see if we have some in the back.
Okay, I will not have this. Let's be polite.
Well, I don't like this whole spread.
I did not make you spread. That's the Bay Area People Battalion.
And why don't you say peoples, not people?
I'm sorry, sir. I got a speech. I got an accent. A speech accent.
A speech accent. Okay.
All right. Now, before this spins out of control, General... What we're talking about here is I may want to use Jay's son's company to develop the app. It's called Go Brown.
Yes, well, he said it's called Go Brown.
Hold on for a minute. It's called Go Brown.
That is correct. Go Brown.
And it was Go Browner.
Yes, ma'am. And I could certainly have Browner get in touch with you.
That's your son's name is Browner.
That is correct, sir. It's not his last name, Sam's first name, Browner.
Does he have a middle name?
Yeah, he does. His middle name is William.
His middle name is William.
That is correct, sir, yeah.
Well, why didn't you have that be the first name?
Because we were going... I know that you use a first name and the mother's surname when you name a son, but I didn't know which order, and my wife wasn't sure either, so we, you know, flipped a coin, and Browner come up.
Couldn't you have asked somebody?
Yes, why didn't you ask someone what comes first, the regular name... You got to be kidding me or something, Santos. In other words, you...
Look, General Shaw,
Well, I'm technically retired. You could call me Mr. if you wanted to. Of course, that would be a dangerous thing for you to do. You may not survive with your gut still inside your stomach. They may be...
Boy, that's... What is wrong with you, buddy? I'm trying to be a nice guy and everything.
I just don't like having... I don't like having a hand up my...
What happened to you in San Francisco?
Nothing happened, but I anticipated that something might.
Was it because you're in San Francisco?
No, it was not because... Don't you start calling me a bigot. It's because...
I'm not calling you that, General.
Well, it was because I was told to spread. And when I hear that word, all kinds of fire alarms go off and red flags.
Well, I can certainly understand that. Now...
You can. Okay, you've been giving me a hard time the whole hour.
You got an attitude tonight. That's the problem that I got.
Yeah, you really do, General. Gotta back it down.
Well,
really, thank you, bud. Back it way down. I mean, you're giving my guest a hard time.
Well, he's been a little...
What about the vanilla wafers? Good God almighty, bud. Would you get him a box of freaking vanilla wafers?
What's wrong with those?
Someone left them out and they're soggy.
Well, okay.
All right, so Brown, whatever the hell his name is.
His son's name is Browner. I talked on the phone before.
Thank you very much. I'll get it, man. Don't worry about it there, bud. My son's name is Browner. His middle name, William. We flipped a coin. Turned out, Brown. I don't know. You're saying, why didn't I check into it? At that particular time of night when Browner was born, the place is empty. And I looked around for a nurse. I said, I got a kid in here. I just got born. She goes, yeah, what do you want from me? And she's sitting there eating a power bar. And I said, well, I want to name the kid William. I want to use my wife's surname, surname, and I want to use a regular first name.
And you're talking to who?
I'm talking to a nurse. She's on a nurse station.
What time of night?
Probably about 3:30.
And there was nobody around, huh?
It's the middle of the night, you know.
Well, where'd this kid get born, man? A haunted house or something?
Yeah, no kidding.
Go in there and do the vanilla wafers, will you?
Do them?
Yes, do them. Have sex with the vanilla wafers.
Oh, my God.
Take it easy. So it's the middle of the night.
Right. It's the middle of the night. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm so happy we have a son. And she said to me, you're pretty sure it's a boy? I said, yeah. I said, the doctor assured me. She said, okay, great, wow. She kind of wiped her brow in a mocking manner. She said, I wasn't sure, ha ha. And I said, well, whatever that means. And she says, we won't call it. I said, let's call it, we need to give it the name of your mom's maiden name, because that's how it's done. She goes, yeah. And I said, well, give her another name, too. A first name, too. She said, well, what comes first? I said, I don't know. I'll go out here in the hall and see if I find nobody. So I go out in the hallway. I'm going up and down. I look at the nurse. I go, do you know which name come first? And she's just she's eating a power bar and reading what looked like a soap digest.
Okay, hold on for a minute. You're okay, so you're not getting any interest from anybody. So you go back into your wife's room, I take it.
That's correct. I went back in her room, and we went ahead and flipped a coin, and it came up the side, which I don't know if it was tails or heads, but it was the side that said, Browner will come first and William comes second.
You know, Jay, I really admire a lot of what you've done. I've heard you over the years on Phil's show, and I've heard you over the years deal with some pretty interesting situations. You have a wife, you have a son, you have a job. And you devote a lot of your off time to the Citizens Auxiliary Police. All of this is very admirable, but I've never heard a story quite like that before in my life. And I question...
Come on, Margaret.
No. I question your ability to process information.
There's a very good way of putting it.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Why would you have to flip a coin to figure out whether the name comes where names come in? You know?
Because, as I was saying to Phil, I went out in the hallway, I was looking for a doctor, I was looking for a nurse, I was looking for anybody. I used to see a guy taking garbage out. You know what I'm talking about, Phil?
Was it like a janitor?
Well, I don't know. He looked like Harrison Ford in a fugitive. And,
What is it with you, anyway? Fugitive, for God's sake.
Take it easy.
Just said take it easy.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. I said, I didn't mean to do that, General.
See, you... Henry, you are stuck in a take-it-easy loop, and it's really starting to frost my...
So, you went out, tried to find some... All right, end of story. So, your son, Browner...
So the name of the company is Go Brown, or Go Downtown. It was either Go Brown, and it stands downtown.
Downtown L.A.?
No, it's in Hawthorne, but, you know, we say it's downtown. Go Brown, go downtown, and get your website developed and everything like that. And
so he's Go Brown, so it's got nothing to do with... What makes you think that Go Brown isn't racist against white people as well?
Well, I just figure Go Brown can mean a tan, but when you start talking about Go Browner, now it's, you know, there's a lot of white men out there that probably have a problem with it.
You know, I don't know who your friends are, Jay, but you got some weird-ass friends if they're getting upset with Go Browner.
Yeah, that's my feeling as well, and I think that, you know, the things that I'm holding inside of me right now, the things that are in my heart that I want to have just come bursting out, and all of it because of the memory of a hand going right up my...
When you were being frisked by the... You know, people are going to think that you're anti-gay with all this.
It's got nothing to do with gay. It's the fact I was told to spread.
All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Henry Show. Jay Sanis is our guest as we discuss with him the methods of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We have a little more follow-up on the execution there in Korea of... this guy Jiang, you know. In fact, we were talking about China and what they were going to do, and it turns out that we're not too far off. Not that we knew what China was going to do or no, but that they would be very concerned about who would take over in the event, you know, of a coup. It's world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get over there, get a backstage pass. A backstage pass. You can either get the audio backstage pass or the all-access backstage pass, giving you access to everything that we've got. You can also get gift subscriptions for Christmas for your loved ones, your friends, whoever the Phil fan is in your life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show, and I gotta find out where that is, bud. Where is Baraboo?
Oh, it's on it right now. I'm gonna find out about it.
Great. We're talking with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Next hour, we will be discussing the Clown Hall of Fame. And the Clown Hall of Fame is looking to partner with Circus World. Makes sense to me.
Are these two separate entities?
Yes, the Clown Hall of Fame and Circus World are two separate entities.
Now, the idea of circuses, of course, rubs you the wrong way, doesn't it?
The idea of a circus using animals... like elephants, the idea of circuses using tigers, the idea of circuses using pandas, yes, that bothers the living hell out of me. And I don't go to circuses, nor will I ever patronize a circus, so long as they are using these wild animals for the entertainment of humans. Those days are over. You understand? Those days are gone. And as soon as SeaWorld and the rest of these jack... Look, you can... Look at my history. I'm not an activist. I'm not an animal rights activist. I'm not with the Earth First people. I'm not like blowing up, you know, the research labs and letting dogs go. And that ain't my thing. You know, I'm more basic. I can understand domesticated animals. I understand the need for food in terms of even slaughtering meat producing animals. I get that. I may or may not, you know, eat meat myself, whatever. And that's, you know what? I pick and choose my battles. Okay. That's a battle for another day. But the one thing that is absolutely, without question, unnecessary, that is vile, that is criminal, in my opinion, it is every bit as abusive. In other words, we got laws against abusing animals.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you're going to do a speech?
Yes, I'm sorry, Phil. Hold on, but I'll do it. Are you going to do a speech? Because I wanted to go and get in a nap. I'm sorry.
Oh, you want to get a nap in. You didn't bring that up to embarrass me.
No, he didn't, Phil, honest to God. He said to me, would this be a good time to ask Phil? I said, yes. I didn't know you were going to go into a whole thing about animals.
Well, if you'd rather I not.
If you want to go get a nap, General, you go right ahead.
Well, now I don't want to, because now I feel as if I wronged you somehow.
You've been wronging me all hour, man.
Get a load of you.
That's right. All hour, you've been blah, blah, blah. You've been yelling at him. You're saying you're all pissed off about the Bay Area...
I got to tell you something, Phil. You're right. He's getting pissed off about the Bay Area.
The
Bay Area People's Battalion.
That's right, because I got spread by them. Excuse me. You know something, Phil? Every day in our jails and in our prisons, well, it's not the same thing.
No, it isn't.
But
I'll tell you something right now, General. I've got all the respect in the world for you and the United States military. But you're going to try to tell me that when they tell you to spread, is somehow you're... I think that, yeah.
Yeah, that's a disgusting thing to say.
Hey, let me tell you something, my friend. I felt personally, not violated, but I did feel personally embarrassed by reputation was slapped around.
Well, what does that mean?
You know exactly what that means. By reputation, if my reputation was some punk in a pool hall, it would have been slapped around and then thrown in the street.
Well, I'll see something, General. This is Jay Santos. And...
Oh, really? I didn't know that. You're only sitting right in front of me.
Woo-hoo! Sir, you were talking behind me.
Well, if you turn around and look at me...
The last time I turned around and looked at you, you were... Should I say?
Go ahead. No, I wasn't.
Yes, sir, your pants were down?
No. Yes, they were.
So I'd rather not look at you.
Well, I want the audience at home to know that Santos is looking away from what I'm talking directly to the back of his head right now.
That's right, sir. And you will continue to talk to the back of my head until I am assured of such time as when I turn around, I'm not looking I'm not looking at a nude area of you.
You know, I wash my hands of the whole thing.
Okay. So in pursuing the conversation, as I say, further, SeaWorld and all of the rest of these places, I don't take anybody to. I don't go myself. So we're going to be looking into the Clown Hall of Fame and the Circus World and any of these other places. I don't even know if Circus World.
Well, Circus World is a place in Orlando, Florida. Do they actually, I don't know if they're still there, but do they have the animals?
I don't know. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do. The last circus I went to, I told you, was in Shanghai, China, if you're ready for that. In fact, it's the only circus I ever went to.
Talk about the only circus?
Yeah, the only circus I ever went to. When I was a kid, there was a TV show on NBC on Saturday nights called, or Friday night, I forget, called International Showtime. And it was some bright idea that an executive at NBC had an hour of a circus. A different circus every week.
Oh, I think Frank knows about that. That was on NBC.
Yeah.
I think Frank signed, I think he was a producer on that.
Well, I hope not, because as I look back on it, it was an easy piece of programming. The NBC executive said, let's get a camera, stick a camera in a circus someplace. And they were all over the world. They were in Copenhagen, and they were in London, and they were in Paris, and they were in all these different places. And these were some of the world's big time, you know.
Like a big top circus.
Yeah, big time circus, yeah.
But they go the big top kind?
I'm sorry?
Did they have the big top kind?
Yes, did they have the circus tent kind, or were these inside arenas?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think they were all in arenas.
Because that's not a circus, that's a show. You might as well be going to see this guy. What's the man? Bruce Springsteen.
No, it's a circus. If you go inside of an arena.
Yes, Phil. Circuses are under the big top.
They have to be in a tent of some kind, and unless you're looking at a circus under a big top, you can take your circus memories and you can stick them. And I'm sorry if I'm sounding argumentative, Phil.
Yeah. All hour you've been sounding argumentative.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, if anybody out there thinks they've been to a circus. And it was not under a big top tent, you know what I mean. And you open up the tent and you look inside and you can peek and look and see and all of that nonsense. You didn't go to a circus any more than you went to the moon.
Well, that's an opinion that you're offering.
Yes, I think so too.
Wait a minute. A moment ago you agreed with me.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, I think you're nuts. I think you're as goofy as two coats of paint.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. If they say it's a circus, it's a circus. Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, are you going to tell me, General, that Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus is not a circus, according to General Galen Shaw, because they had it at the Staples Center and not under a tent?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
And you're telling Ringling Brothers that?
No, I'm not telling Ringling Brothers that, because they're dead. There's some other jackass that's running their company.
Well, there's somebody else that bought the Ringling Brothers name, but nonetheless, they're circus experts.
I'd have to say that, General, you're probably going to think, well, Jay Sanders is disagreeing with me on account I'm talking the back of his head.
Well, that's part of it, yes.
No, I don't want to wheel around and see a whole nude section. But I would say that Phil and Margaret are probably right. Ringling Brothers probably know better than you.
And it doesn't matter to you that Ringling Brothers have been long dead and moldering in their graves, does it?
No, sir, it does not, because the people that bought the company are probably circus,
Slow down, man.
Yeah, you gotta slow down.
Circus savvy, is gonna say.
Well, all right, there's a million and one different things I could say to you to counter what you just said, to make you look even dumber than you sound, but I won't do it. I won't do it. I'll take Phil's counsel and keep my mouth shut.
That would be great. That would be great.
Fine.
You know, I noticed ever since we had you on, General, you've gone from being very respectful and nice. Tonight, you, man, you're loaded for bear.
Loaded for bear? Yeah, I'm loaded for bear, and all I see around me are chipmunks.
Well, I don't think that's mean.
I do. I take that very personally.
I don't. I think it's very funny.
You think it's funny, huh?
Yeah. I'm loaded for bear, and all I see around me are chipmunks. Yeah, that's pretty funny. All right, we're going to be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Our number is 855-500-7445. Next hour, Circus World and the Clown Hall of Fame. Joining us for that will be Steve Bozell, who, as you know, does kids' parties. He also does a stand-up comedy act.
You know, that ought to be good, listening to Bozell. You talk about a guy that pisses me off.
We'll be right back.
How I hate you. How much time, Nikki?
Why don't you shut up? I'll talk to her. Sorry if we jumped the gun there. Welcome back here. Phil Henry Show. Margaret, this is one of your favorites.
This is Burl Ives. Have a holly jolly Christmas. Oh, it's the God. Best time of the year. Burl Ives is one of our Renaissance men, Phil.
Is that the guy snow, big and fat? But
have a I'm sorry, bud. Could you yell louder in the... Have a
holly jolly Hold on. We're listening to a song, bud. Do you mind? And when you
walk down... Yes, Burl Ives, for me, and I'm only speaking for myself, is Christmas with this song, Holly Jolly... Jolly Girl. I'm sorry. I forgot the name of the song.
Holly Jolly Christmas.
It's Holly Jolly Jack Frost.
What do you think of this, Jay?
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, as a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police, being on the front line of law enforcement, I don't have a lot of time to relax and enjoy my own life because my life is nothing. My life is a zero because I'm out trying to protect lives, see? So my own personal life is a big, fat, desolate stretch of road that goes nowhere. But I'm very happy to be protecting the happiness of other families. And on Christmas Day, as I stand out in the street with my hand shoved in my pocket, looking in on the various brightly lit, gaily lit, I don't mean no gay, I'm not saying gay, but gaily lit homes, and I see people sitting down to a turkey, and I see people opening up Christmas presents and everything, and I'm standing out in the street, cold, lonely, nothing to eat. Thanks a lot.
Wow, that's...
You sound a little bit bitter there, Santos.
I'm only kidding around. I was trying to interject a little comedy into it, you know.
I didn't find anything funny about that at all.
Well, now I do, now that I think about that.
You do?
Yeah, it was very funny, Jay.
I was trying to inject a little humor into everything, because I can still feel the general's eyeballs boring right at the back of my head.
That's right, Santos. My eyeballs have not... I haven't taken my eyes off the back of your head since we broke for the last commercial. Because I've got my eyes on you, friend. Oh, yeah.
All right, so as long as it's not...
As long as it's not what?
Just not even go there. Not even go there. I think it would be polite of you, Jay, to turn around and address the general.
Phil, I'm very happy to do that. I got no problem, but... When I did it last time, there was a nude space.
Okay, his pants are on, and he's not going to do that again, because if you do, General, not only will I have you fired, but I'm going to bring in L.A. County to have you put on a 72-hour hold. What do you think of that?
You've got to be kidding.
Phil.
Hold on. No. No, I'm not kidding. You're pulling your pants down all the time? Yeah. A 72-hour psychiatric hold. Now, how do you feel about that?
You have to be a danger to yourself... Pulling my pants down.
No, I can tell the authorities that that is the precursor to something that I think is going to be more. You got to start acting responsibly around here.
Man, Phil, I don't think you should do that.
Yeah, come on, Phil. Don't tell me what to do, okay?
Look, I've never done anything against you, Phil.
Well, you have when you're pulling your pants down all the time and pointing at your ass as you just did there with Jay when he didn't see that, and I did.
So now you're going to tell the whole audience, huh?
Wait, what did he do?
He, when you weren't looking and you were talking to me, he turned around, pulled his pants down and was pointing at his rear end and laughing.
I didn't know that at all. That puts a whole different spin on things now.
Now, you know something, Santos? You're listening to what Henry has to say, but you're not hearing me out. I have my side to this.
All right, go ahead.
Are you going to let me say something, Phil?
Go ahead. I'd love to hear this.
I was doing that as a way of testing Phil to see if he would threaten me with a nut house, and yes, he has. So now I know who my friends are.
Yeah, you know who your friends are, and you also know how to behave.
Well, I think that was a little radical, Phil.
What is it with you, everybody here telling me what to do, you know? You remember Sergeant Saunders in combat? He said, what's everybody telling me? And I said, I gave you an order. I want you to do what I told you to do, okay? This is not, we're not taking a vote, right? Remember Sergeant Saunders?
Yeah, Chip Saunders of the combat.
Yes.
All right. He said, I'm getting tired of you guys questioning what I'm saying. I give you an order. It's a direct order. Now go do it. Cage, Kirby, Little John, go do it.
Ted Kirby, Little all out on the TV show Combat.
Yeah, Combat was very good.
What'd you think of Combat, General?
I thought Combat, as a television product, I thought it was outstanding. I thought Vic Morrow was wonderful in that. And I think that Vic Morrow, in fact, that was the only real career opportunity that Vic Morrow had that let everyone see what great talent he had, because after that he did the Bad News Bears, which blew every kind of chipmunk. And then,
well, now, come on, don't say that.
No, Phil, that was a real bring down for Vic Morrow. Do you know who his daughter is?
Yeah, Jennifer Lee. What's her name?
Yeah, I don't know. You're right, Phil. It's Jennifer Lee something.
Yeah, what is her name?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Who?
Vic Morrow's daughter.
I don't know who Vic Morrow's daughter is, and I don't care. I'm telling you that what happened to Vic Morrow on the set of that lousy movie, you tried to tell me the Twilight Zone movie was good?
I think there were some parts of it, yeah.
No, that movie will never be any good to me because Vic Morrow and those two little children, you can take that whole Twilight Zone movie and wipe with it. Not me? No way.
I think you're getting... Now I know why your voice cracks. You get emotional.
No, I'm not emotional. I'm just telling you how I feel.
Well, it's not a bad point of view. We got a question for the general, for Jay Santos. We're going to get into the Circus World thing here as well, the Clown Hall of Fame and some other news. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Don't forget, every day, Bobby Dooley's podcast is available to you at philhenryshow.com. It's also available on SoundCloud, and it's available through the Sideshow Network, iTunes, all kinds of different places. So if you are interested in Bobby's work, in Bobby's point of view, in Bobby's, you know, in Bobby's world, check out the Sideshow Networks and the Phil Henry, the World of Phil Henry's Bobby Dooley podcast every day. Here is this lady's name is Jane on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Jane.
Hi, Phil. I wanted to ask the young man there who is the auxiliary police.
Yes, ma'am. Jay Santos here.
All right. I want to ask if you can speak more clearly, because I don't understand a lot of what you're saying.
You don't understand the words I'm saying?
What don't you understand, dear?
Well, he's mumbling, and I hear that he sounds as if he has a malformed mouth or something, or someone is squeezing his cheeks in, you know.
Well, the accent?
I don't think it's an accent. I've never heard anything. Are you from America?
Yes, ma'am, I'm from America. I come from Baltimore, Maryland. Well, I come from Western Pennsylvania.
Right there, that whole accent. I didn't understand what he said.
What did it sound like?
I'm sorry?
What did it sound like to you?
I didn't understand a word of it.
No, but I know you didn't understand it, but what did you think it was?
Well, it sounds... I asked, are you Polish?
No, ma'am, I'm not Polish. I'm American.
You're America.
I'm American.
He's American.
You're not like any American I've ever met, any American I would ever care to know. And the idea, I'm at a carnival, and what I want is someone to call the police to locate me.
What is going on with you, dear? What is your name?
My name is Jane Bond.
Jane what?
Jane William.
What are you laughing at, Phil?
I... What is your name, hon? What's your last name? Could you spell it for us?
Yeah, it's spelled N-O-Y-M-A-N.
Neumann.
No, Norm.
What? Spell it again for me.
Oh, man. N-O-Y-M-A-N.
M as in Mary.
No, N as in Nancy, A.
Okay, but all right, N as in Nancy, A as in Apple.
Yeah, Y as in yellow, M as in Nancy, A as in Mary, and N as in apple.
Phil, you better get her on the phone with the authorities.
Yeah, all right. We're going to try to find you, hon. You don't know where you are?
No, I see a Ferris wheel, and, there's my car. I'm all right. I didn't know where my car was, Phil, and so I called your show just as a way of killing time while I was... I'm fine now.
How are you listening to our show?
On my Android.
Oh, on your... Are you streaming it?
Yeah, I'm streaming on WWRL in New York. But I couldn't understand when the man, Santos, talked to you. He sounded terribly, terribly injured.
Well, all right. He has a very thick accent. Are you sure you're all right, dear?
Yes, I'm fine. Here's my car. I can't get into it. It is my car. I know it's my car. It's got to be my car.
Phil, I don't want to hang up with her.
Well, I got to turn her over to the authorities here, okay?
Is it your car?
What?
Is that your car?
That's a great question. Okay, California plates. It's a Volkswagen. And there's a... But that's not my dog. Oh, that is my... No, it's a stuffed toy.
Did you bring your dog with you?
No, I did not.
All right, then there wouldn't be any dog in there.
Well, there is. A stuffed dog.
That's not a living dog, though. Did you bring a stuffed dog with you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's your car, probably.
Well, now hold the phone. You know, there's a lot of stuffed animals, and there's a lot of banana yellow Volkswagens.
You know, Phil, the longer you keep this lady on the line...
This General Shaw, I was this... I love what you've done for America, General.
Thank you very much, dear. I'm talking with this lady. You go check and see if you're in the right car.
I'm not in it yet. I'd like to get in it.
Okay. Everything's going to be okay. Let's take a break here, folks. 855-507-445. What, Robert?
Well, you put that lady on hold, man. She's going to think you hung up on her.
No. Bud's got her. Is that right, Bud?
Yeah, I got it. That's a stuffed dog. It's not a real dog. That's a stuffed dog. It's not a real dog. Yeah.
He's talking to her now. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, the number 855-500-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com. Christmas right around the corner. Do your Christmas shopping at philhenryshow.com for the Christmassy person that is, in your family and that kind of thing, you know.
That was very good.
I'm Jay Sanis.
Right. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, now in its 24th year, providing you with only the very finest in broadcast entertainment. On the line with us here is, there isn't anybody on the line. Is that old lady gone?
Yeah, I hung up on her. I said the nut wagon will probably be along shortly, so she's waiting near a fire hydrant.
Well, that's just great, bud.
What did you do?
What?
Dickman, you jackass, that woman may need help.
They did. I said it. They'd send along the man with a butterfly net.
They'd send along a guy with a butterfly net.
Are you out of your mind? You understand that old lady, ma'am? She may need some help.
Bud, do you understand that there's an elderly person out there that may need help, and you said just hang tight? What do you mean standing at a fire hydrant?
I told her. I said, is there a fire hydrant? She said, yes. Go stand near there, and I'll tell the wagon that's going to be coming along.
Why do you call that the wagon?
Just what they said. Is it... I call up the psychiatrist place that we have the number for.
Right, the county.
Right.
And I said, is this the nut wagon? And the guy goes, ha, 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 that's pretty funny. I said, well, is it? He goes, yeah. And I said, you guys had a butterfly net.
Are you saying all this to a guy, butterfly net, nut wagon?
Yeah.
Dickman, Dickman, Dickman. How many times have I told you you have to speak as if you live on the planet Earth with these people? Otherwise, they'll think they're talking to somebody who they are going to incarcerate in a few minutes. They probably thought you were the nut. Did you ever think about that?
What difference does it make?
Well, they're not going to roll to a fire hydrant. They're going to be looking for you. They may be. What do you think, Phil?
Probably to tell, you know.
Don't be nervous, Phil. You would probably
Probably tracing the line, okay?
There, that's better.
Yes.
What's with you guys?
Well, you're all like...
Phil, I just... can I...
Go ahead, Jay.
What we do at the Citizens Auxiliary Police, very easy. If someone is behaving in a suspicious manner, if we got an old lady who is wandering around a car and looking in it and looks like... First thing I'm going to assume is that she's looking to case... She's casing a car... is probably trying to look like an old lady. So we're all just, oh, wow, an old lady. She can't do no harm. We'll keep on walking, right? And we will not, as I say, we've got a term we use in the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Do I slide the wingtip in or do I slide it out? And
sliding the wingtip in means?
That means do I insert myself into investigation or do we go ahead and just keep on walking? And a situation where I see an old lady casing a Volkswagen and she's on a cell phone, first thing I'm thinking is she's going to probably steal. She's on the phone with whoever is the head of the operation. And we go ahead and do a takedown on that.
Now, what are you going to take down an elderly woman?
Now, Ms. Gray, you have to understand, these old ladies, all I need to do is hear that one tape from Texas. You know what I'm talking about.
Hey, wait a second. Okay, I'm with you on that one, Jay.
No.
What are you people talking about?
There was the old lady in Texas, I think it was Texas, where she got tased by the cop. Remember that?
That was dirty pool, what that cop did.
No, I disagree entirely. And I'll tell you something else. That cop did that by the book. There was no problem.
Dude, that old lady's on the phone. Is that you got anyone to talk to?
What?
Did you want to talk to the lady?
Yes, I wanted to talk to the old lady.
Well, I had her on hold.
Oh, I'm sorry. You still with us, Jane?
I'm where they asked me to wait for the wagon, and that's what I'm doing.
Okay. Your initial call had to do with Jay Santos not being able to understand him.
Yeah, but I don't care anymore. All I want is for the automobile that I drove to this carnival to make itself known to me, and I'll get in it and drive away.
Well, so did you go to that carnival?
I like carnivals, so I'm going to assume that I went to this. Unless someone brought me to it.
But you say you drove.
I'm rolling the dice and saying yes, I drove, because I'm very independent and I don't like it when someone...
If someone is driving you around?
Yeah, I don't like that at all. I hate that, because I don't want to rely on someone driving me home after they pick up some guy and they want to go home and sleep with him and I'm left at the bar with his friends. So I don't know how to do that.
So you're going out on Friday nights, Moody?
Yes. What's the problem with that?
Nothing. It's unusual. All right, so you're waiting for the... I don't know what she's waiting for.
He told me to wait for an ambulance, and that is not going to happen. I am waiting right now to see if my car... if I can just...
All right, I'm going to let you go then, and I hope that...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, I got to, I you know, we're going to be taking a break here in a couple of minutes. If you want, you can wait there for the ambulance to show up.
Well, I may. I.
Or you can continue looking for your car.
And I may do that.
Well, you don't know what you're doing, do you?
Yeah, in other words, I'm like you guys.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
All right,
you know something, Phil? I think that old bag was... full of it. I don't think she was anywhere near a carnival. I think she was just... I don't even think it was an old bag. I think it was a comedian doing a voice impression.
I gotta tell you, Phil, I go with that.
Where do you get that idea?
Did you hear all of that ridiculousness coming out of her mouth or its mouth? No, I don't buy it for a second. I think Phil just got hosed. You got trolled? Admit it.
Maybe. I mean, that's the way the show's going tonight.
Well, Phil, I sure hope that you don't think I'm a
troll. No, I don't. I don't, Jake. All right. If we don't get to Steve Bozell, I'm going to cry. He'll be coming up following this break. Steve Bozell talking with us about the Circus Hall of Fame and the Circus World. This is actually the Clown Hall of Fame. And this article, I got to find out where in hell Baraboo is. I don't know where that's at.
I think it's like it's in Thailand or something.
Thailand, huh?
Yeah.
Well, then how come everybody there? There's a guy named Scott O'Donnell and Jonathan Lip. These guys from Thailand?
Well, they must be.
Well, no, they're not from Thailand. There's no cat over there named Jonathan Lip and Scott O'Connell.
Well, where do you think they're from?
America.
Well, where is Baraboo? If that's in America, then I'm my own grandfather.
Well, that's entirely possible.
Well, I don't. All right. I'll find out. And when we come back, we will have Steve Bozell from the Citizens Auxiliary Police on to talk with us about the entertainment factor of clowns. Jay is, or rather, Steve does a kids' birthday parties. He does magic shows. He also is a clown. And, you know, the much maligned job of being a kid birthday party clown, thank you, John Wayne Gacy.
Well, not just John Wayne Gacy, but my understanding is a lot of them would show up having been drinking, like the clown in Uncle Buck.
Well, that's a movie.
Well, but still, it makes sense.
Yeah, it stands to reason you're going to be a clown, you probably would go to the liquor store and at least fortify.
Yeah, that's my experience, Phil. We pulled over two kid clowns. And they had four or five wine.
You pulled over two kid clowns. What does that mean?
It means that what I said.
You mean these are guys that are...
These are guys that work at a kid party. And we pulled them over because they look wrong. And I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. You guys look all wrong with me. And I'm going to have to... You mind if I search the car? And they go, no. And so we searched the car. And we did find, at that time, a couple balls of four or five stuff. Fortified wine. That is correct.
All right, we'll be right back. How did you know that they were kid clowns?
I had a feeling, I had a sensibility about it. I looked at them, they looked wrong, and I liked them for it.
What is all this cop talk? I don't understand what you mean, man.
You liked them for what? For sex with you and the other sub-commanders? Jeez.
Well, that's dirty pool.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Stephen Bozell joining us in this segment of the program to talk about all things circusy and clown-like and everything else. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. So I was just talking with Nikki because Margaret, you had some questions. She was asking about where to live in California.
Yes, Nikki. Phil grew up in the San Gabriel Valley, so he's going to be partial to his home. To his homeboys, as they say. And there's nothing against the San Gabriel Valley, but there's a lot of Mexicans. And
oh, that boy, is that ever racism?
What has that got to do with anything?
Because there's...
No, there ain't any gangs. No, there's not. No. Okay?
Well, did you not say it's Hispanic?
Does that mean gangs?
I am a liberal. I would never make that association.
Right, you know, you say you don't, but that's what you do.
What? I don't understand.
I said you say you don't, but that's what you do.
She asked the best place to live in California, and there's no question, that it's the Malibu Film Colony.
Well, okay, isn't that great if you've got $4 million for the lowest priced place on the beach? Yeah, go ahead, Nikki. Good luck.
Why can't you let a young girl dream?
She just asked me, the best place to live. I wouldn't call it the best place to live. Not at all.
You got to be kidding me.
You want to know what my idea of heaven is? My idea of heaven is a high-rise penthouse apartment on Wilshire overlooking the West Side. That's my idea of heaven. But it would be even better if it was in Hollywood.
Oh, so you can get a nice bird's-eye view of all the guys in tight shorts. Wow.
God, Mr. Henry. Hey, that you want to do?
Would you shut up?
Phil, you want my idea of best place to live in Los Angeles, California. And, Nikki, I come from Baltimore, Maryland. So I'm not too far away from where you are right now is Washington, D.C. sections in a sector, you know.
She lives in Washington, D.C. No, she doesn't live in Washington. She lives outside of Washington, D.C. Right, but she's in a she's in a sector. What do you mean in a sector? What's it called? Washington District of Columbia. That's it, that district.
The district. The Redskins play in the district.
Right. The Redskins play a district. All right. So if I was her, I'd come out here, and there's no question in my mind, no question at all, go down Laguna Beach. You know?
What?
I'm sorry, I got the L problem.
He's got a problem with L's.
I'm sorry. I would have her go down to, if I were you, Nikki, I would go and live in Laguna Beach.
Laguna Beach. That's gorgeous. That's also expensive.
Well, it's rather expensive, but, you know, you can, if you want to look for a roommate, you can do that. And that, to me, is great.
What is it with you and these L's, man?
What are you talking about?
I don't know. It's not just you, but everybody I hear from Pennsylvania and New Jersey, I never heard it in Baltimore, but you guys got a thing with the L.
Got a thing with, well, yeah, it's normal. It's natural. It's no big thing.
No, I wouldn't say that.
What about Tom? What was Tom Brokaw's problem? Didn't he come from South Dakota?
Yeah.
So what was his problem?
Well, I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with how you were taught, speech as a kid. An example of that, as we've brought up before, is you hear people who are from poorer neighborhoods or people who were educated poorly early in life and didn't learn to form the phonetics properly, you hear, especially among the poor, and both in England and the United States, because we're talking about English-speaking people, they mistake the TH sound for the F sound.
Yeah, like they'll say whiff.
They'll say whiff, whiff. Now, you hear that among poor people in America, and you hear it among the Cockney in England, whiff instead of th. And the reason for that is because both of those sounds, if you can't see the mouth forming them, they sound similar to people. So a person who's not properly educated early on in the phonetics, a child, and this is before school.
Well, you were talking about echolalia. What is that?
Echolalia is different. That's where you echo a sound. You echo what you hear in the syllables. You learn how to speak syllables. But when you are saying the F sound and the TH sound, the th, as in the or with, and then you're saying fire, people who can't see the mouth, if their attention is not directed to that, if they're not taught the difference, they will interchange those. And most of the time, they'll just use the F sound. The F sound for everything.
Right. So what are you going to say? I went with you to the fire?
Yeah, that's exactly what they say. That's exactly what they say. It's also, it's similar to, this is a Southern thing. Southern people tend to axe. And a lot of people, you know, some whites who aren't particularly bright, think that that's strictly something that African Americans do. No, I've heard white people do that. Poor whites do that. They'll say, I axe him this, that. It's not a strictly a racial thing. It's an economic, and it has more to do with education. And that has more to do with how the child is educated before the school years.
Well, what are you talking about when they look at your mouth?
You know, you got to look right at your mouth and everything.
That's probably true, Phil, because I have, from time to time, I'll take a magnifying glass and analyze a guy's mouth if I think there is a problem with communication. You know, if you talk about, I mean, I don't know, but I would grab a magnifying glass and analyze the lips.
Is that right? Well, have you ever had to do that?
Of time to time.
See, I don't know what happened to you, man, but there's something.
Yeah, you know, Jay, that's Phil, what Phil's talking about. Your early education sounds like it was butchered up, too.
Why do you say that?
Well, right there, you go, time to time. What the?
I said, from time to time.
From time to time. I was listening in the car today. I was listening to a disc jockey. It was a female. And instead of saying 95.9, she said 95.9.
What did she say?
She said 95.9. She didn't say 95. But this is a professional announcer. And she was not, she was saying, hey, welcome, you know, blah, 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 blah. Listen to the radio station here on 95.9. I go, what did she say? And then when she went back to do some promos, I heard her do it again.
Well, what do you call that? What's to do that?
That's just educate. That's just teaching. It's very lazy elocution and pronunciation. And it gets really lazy. And if nobody corrects you for when you're very young and no one corrects you from saying with instead of with, you'll keep on saying it. Now, I'll give you an example. Michael Caine is a great actor. Michael Caine has a Cockney background. Michael Caine comes from one of those working class neighborhoods in London, right? He's an actor who, of great accomplishment. But I've heard Michael Caine, with that thick Cockney accent of his, say with.
Oh, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. Michael Caine is an accomplished actor. I've been at parties with Michael Caine. I've listened to him tell jokes and stories, and I've gone, just to make him feel better, even though
he was boring?
Well, yeah, a little bit. But you've got to be high on a mixture of chemicals, Phil.
No, I am not. I've heard the guy. I've heard him with my own ears. I don't have to be at a party. I've heard Michael Caine go, with Michael Caine here, and with all that, you know. Same thing with some of those other guys. I forget who.
Like who?
I don't know. Some of those guys.
Well, a lot of English do that, and a lot of black people do, too.
A lot of poor people. The point I'm making, man, is it's got nothing to do with race. It has to do with economic background, and it has to do with advantage. It has to do with who's teaching you how to talk. Okay? So when Jay, with all due respect, when you go tie like that.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I had my mother and father were very hands-on. And they're hands-on and everything, you know.
Well, what does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything dirty.
I didn't say that.
All right. But my parents were very hands-on. And they, in other words, they hugged me and they touched my face. And my parents, you should know, were blind. I don't find that funny, Phil.
Well, no, but Phil's, if they were hands-on, they were blind. They're touching your face to figure out what you look like.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
I bet you they were disappointed. What do you think?
You know, I'm not even going to respond to that. That's the most, come on, General, that's not nice.
Well, I mean, so when you say they were hands-on.
My parents were very hands-on. They loved me, and they couldn't live, you know, they loved me, and needed me, and couldn't live without me. And when I was going to go off to school, and they were very sad, my parents, because they're both visually impaired, Phil.
Really?
Yeah, and my father got by. He was a watch, he repaired watches, and sewed, you know, people the rear end and pants. I don't know what they did, you know, but they kept me, they took care of me, and I'll go all them.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
No, I did not. If I did, I didn't know about it because my parents, because they couldn't see, it's highly possible I had brothers and sisters, but they didn't know where they were.
Oh, get out of here, Jay.
I don't know, you know. So my parents were really hands-on, and yeah, they touched my face to try to figure out what I look like.
Did they ever figure it out?
I mean, you want to believe your parents figured it out. My parents were blind, so when they would touch my nose, every day they'd try to get some new piece of information. And I would be there, and they'd be having their fingers on my face and everything.
Well, what was that like, Jay? Why didn't you just tell them?
I did, but they wanted to feel it, you know? And so I said, Mom, Dad, this is what I look like. And my dad would go, shh, just shut up. I want to figure this out. And it went for months, you know, and they couldn't. They said, do you have red hair? I said, no, I told you, I've got brown hair. And I'm, okay, wait, we got to go back to the drawing board on that one. And then they, you know, grabbed my face again.
What in the hell is that about, man?
I don't know. And then they picked me up and carried me around. That's why I said, they're hands on.
When we say that a parent is hands on, we mean that they're teaching their child.
No, that's got nothing to do. My parents love me. But they were hands-on because they had to figure out where I was, you know, and because if they didn't have their hands on, I go, Jay, where are you? I'm sitting in the same chair I was in for a half an hour. I go, okay. And my mother, she insisted on cooking, and so she had third-degree burns all over her hands, and the floor was totally destroyed.
What in the hell? You must have been raised.
I was raised in a very loving home, but it almost burned down. And I got my eyes almost poked out a couple times because they're, you know, sticking their hands on it.
All right, well, and are your parents still with us?
No, unfortunately they're not.
Oh, they passed on?
No, but they moved to another country, and I just refused to. I'm very conservative, and they moved to, at the time, the Soviet Union.
Are they still living there?
They're living in Russia.
Why?
Because they're communists.
But did they ever try to contact you?
Oh, many times. I said, I will not speak with you because you've become a commie.
And they're like, oh, give it a rest, will you, Jay? You know, we think of all the times we had to endure touching your face and realizing you look the way you did. And I go, ha, ha, ha. And they write back, just kidding.
What is this? What are you? Where are you talking to them? Facebook. All right.
What if the Phil Henry Show provided you transportation to Russia to see your parents?
Well,
we'd do it.
You would?
Yeah, I would. We would pay your way over there to see your parents.
Well, now, wait a minute, Henry. You wouldn't do that for a listener. You're doing it for this weird ass who's going tie-tie and talks like he's got a mouthful of well, I don't even want
to. We'll just, I'll decide that. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. When are we going to get Bozell on here? Is he on hold?
Yeah.
All right, I want to get him on the line here before I go nuts. Steve Bozell is going to join us here and talk, well, you know what he's going to talk about. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. And the Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico tonight, every night till 10 o'clock and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Now, I've got a Stephen Bozell update here. I tell you what we're going to do. Jay, I want to talk to you. We have as a special in-studio guest here this evening, Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. The Steve Bozell update that I have, and I don't blame him, is that he went away from the phone and will join us at the top of the next hour.
Well, what was his problem?
He's waiting for us to get our act together.
I didn't do anything, Phil. I'm sitting here. I'm answering a question.
No, I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming just me. I'm the guy. I should have had more control over this. In the meantime, so we're going to have Steve on next hour. In the meantime, Jay, I wanted to ask you about your time on with Bobby Dooley last night, and we might even get Bobby on the line. I don't know if she's available.
I don't think she is. I think she's... she and Steve went out of town. There's a birthday party they're going to out in the desert. So my understanding is they're in Palm Springs.
Oh, okay. So she's not available by phone?
No.
I'm trying to call her up, but I'm pretty sure I'll be able to get her.
All right. Well, so, Jay, tell me about your appearance. What did Bobby talk to you about?
Well, Bobby Dooley, Ms. Dooley said she wanted to be like Afrobi. I'm trying to try to get the name right. It's a woman on... Investigation Discovery, which is a crime channel over on Investigation Discovery, right?
Right.
And she said that she wanted, Bobby Dooley said she wants to be just like Aphrodite Joe. Okay? And...
What is that?
Aphrodite Joe.
Aphrodite Joe. Who is that?
Some crime hunter. Some say they got a number of these crime hunter shows on Investigation Discovery. They got Paula Zahn, they got, I forget all the people they have, and then they got this Aphrodite Joe. And she said she wants to be just like him. So I said, okay. And she said she wants to go out and she wants to, you know, look up a crime, look.
Slow down.
She wants to look at crime scenes and she wants to write crime novels, the same thing as Aphrodite Joe do. But I've never seen this guy's writings.
Don't talk about Aphrodite Joe.
That's correct, yeah.
I'll see what kind of book they have, Phil.
Yeah, look up Aphrodite Joe. That sounds like a joke or something, you know?
Well, a lot of these writers have, what do they call it, Margaret? Nom de plume?
Yes, it's a fake name, a pen name. Aphrodite Joe, that sounds very colorful.
Yeah, it does. It's all right, so she wanted to do that, huh?
Yeah, that's true. And if she was driving home one night and she did see a man by a tree, she wrote down and asked me my opinion. I'm not a writer, Phil. I'm on the front line of law enforcement, but I'm not a writer.
Right.
But I said I would review. She wrote a piece that was inspired by something she saw there at a Western estate, which where she's a president, my understanding.
Yes, that's true. She's the president of the Western States Homeless Association.
All right. So she saw a man stand by a tree. And he was looking in a bedroom window, and he's all like, you know what I'm talking about.
What was he? Oh, God.
Yeah, he had his hand down there, it was a spank festival. I mean, I'm trying to be clean, you know.
No, I understand. So this guy was acting in a perverted way.
That is true, yes, sir. And so she said she wanted to write about that. I said, well, you write about that, but all you got is a guy in a spank festival, and they're going to have him inside lickety-split, you know. And she got upset with me with saying I was licking. She said, what are you licking? I said, nothing.
You know, we got the same problem with that lickety-split thing on another show with another guest. I don't know what it is about my show.
Well, Phil, you are not very sensitive at times to your guests' needs.
Oh, would you? Come on. Are you crazy? I'm going to... are you telling me that I shouldn't use the phrase lickety-split, which is one of those old American phrases, because it sounds dirty? What has happened to people?
Phil, I can tell you, I've been around soldiers my whole life, but I've also been around their wives and their mothers. And you have to be able, at the drop of a hat, to go between one extreme and the other. If you were a soldier one day, and his guts are lying all over the ground, and he's using every four-letter word you can think of, and his head's blown off, and he's lying there screaming his guts loose.
With his head blown off.
Now, excuse me, Ms. Gray, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about combat.
She's got a good point.
Excuse me. And then the next day, the same guy is standing there, oh, hi, mother, hi, father. Oh, you know, thank you very much for the cheese sandwiches you made. Thank you for the thermos of soup. And then the next day, he's back in combat. You dirty filth, and his legs got blown up. You know.
General, you got this guy every other day getting his head blown off.
I'm speaking figuratively. Can't you... You understand what I'm saying?
I understand that you're saying that in combat, in war, there's all kinds of vile language. I get that. And then the next day, he may see his mother and be very sweet. I understand that.
Then what are you giving me a hard time for?
General, he's saying...
Wait a minute, Santos. I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to the back of your head. I'm talking to Henry.
Hey, General.
Too much?
Yeah. Take it easy.
General, I was just going to say, I was just going to tell you... You don't have to have a guy who's got his guts blowed out. The guy's going to swear even without the guts blowed out, right?
What?
I said...
What he's saying, General, is why do you have these guys with their heads blown off and their legs blown off? The guy's going to swear and use all kinds of vulgarity regardless of whether he's wounded or not. True?
Well, that is true, yes.
Okay, so you didn't have to go in a whole song and a dance about the guy's head being blown. No guy with his head blown off is going to be talking.
Well, that's a good point.
That's all you're trying to say. I wasn't trying to interrupt you or say you're wrong.
All right. Well, sometimes even General Shaw.
That's very big of you, General, to understand a thing that you done did wrong.
Yes, well, sometimes General Galen Shaw can be wrong, and I apologize.
It's all right.
Oh, General, are you all right?
I'm fine.
You're not crying, are you?
No, I'm not crying.
He got his feelings hurt.
Hey, okay.
Never mind. Screw it. What do you care?
Yeah, okay. All right, so Steve Bozell is coming up next on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to talk with us about clown work. Is Steve going to be a clown, too? Is that it?
My understanding, yeah. Steve Bozell is going to be on, talk about telling jokes and everything, but he is also a clown and is now studying to be a clown.
Yeah, I'll say he's a clown.
Hold on. Hold on. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Go over to our website, philhenryshow.com, to shop for the Christmas season. We have all kinds of collectibles. We have all kinds of clothing. We have all kinds of CDs. We have all kinds of... we've got all kinds of me.
Welcome. Welcome, brother.
This is the Phil Henry Show, brother.
Yes, brother. Come in. Sit down. Take a load off.
As we get into the last hour here of our great show. Our number is 855-500-7445. Stephen Bozell with us. I'm not even going to go into much of an intro because this poor man has been on hold now. Steve, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. Send in the clowns. Hall of Fame looks to partner with Circus World. And this is an interesting article out of Baraboo. First of all, we had a real good time trying to figure out here on staff where Baraboo was. Because it looked, you know, as I was mentioning to Bud and everybody else, thought it was some Southeast Asian country.
No, Baraboo is in Wisconsin, and that's a discussion maybe for another day, because Baraboo is in Wisconsin, and that's probably a discussion for another day.
Why are you reticent to talk about that?
Well, I think Wisconsin has taken its fair share of hit. You know, I heard you the last few nights on your show, Mr. Henry, referring to taking it off the chin. And I think if ever there was a state that's taken more than one or two shots off the chin, it's probably Wisconsin. You know, it's a state that has had every kind of cannibal. It's a beautiful state. It has the cheese farms and different cheeses, you know.
Yeah. Wisconsin is the cheese state, no question about it.
And it's the dairy land, farmland. You've been there. I know you visited there. But it also has cannibal killer. It has men that eat flesh and they gouge the eyes out of corpses and put them in, you know, and walk around going, ooh, look at me.
What did you just say?
I'm talking about, we're talking about Wisconsin, aren't we?
Yeah. You said they cut the eyes out of corpses and walk around going, look at me.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it Gene did. He had these two human eyeballs, and he'd walk into town with the eyeballs up on his eyes going, hey, look at me. Didn't he do that?
I never heard of Ed Gein doing anything like that, General.
Yeah, and the reading that I've done about Ed Gein, and I made Ed Gein a personal area of study and expertise, I never heard any such thing.
All right, well, then I stand corrected, General. I apologize.
You may be thinking of some other psychopath or psychotic killer, but I don't know of Ed Gein. Now, Ed Gein did fashion masks and so forth.
Yeah, we're all aware of that. But the eyeballs...
Well, in my imagination, that's what I think he would have done. I mean, in my most frightened times, thinking of Ed Gein and everybody, oh, God, now I'm thinking all about it.
Are you doing some breathing there, Steve?
I am, yes, ma'am. You just give me a moment, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
Are you?
Shut up, bud.
Wisconsin, getting back to Wisconsin, there's a town called Baraboo, and they have a newspaper called the News Republic. I don't think the Hall of the Clown is got anything to do with that.
Okay, that was just an article that we found.
What will the Hall of Fame be called?
Right now, I think the de facto name, the working title, is the Hall of the Clown. And,
what do you mean the Hall of the Clown?
That's the Hall of Fame, man. God, is it too hard for you to get or something?
No.
I mean, I just got done telling you.
But listen and then ask questions later. All right, Greg DeSanto has extended a hand of partnership to Circus World Museum and swears he isn't holding a joy buzzer. DeSanto is the executive director of the International Clown Hall of Fame, which wants to establish an exhibit at Circus World. His presentation Thursday to the board that operates Circus World was warmly received. It seems like a no-brainer to me, Circus World Museum Foundation board member Dave Hoffman said. You're going to enhance with your Hall of Fame what we're doing here. DeSanto and Hall of Fame board member Sandy Weber presented placards illustrating the interactive exhibits that would be displayed, as well as a brief video about the history of clowning at Circus World.
Yeah, and the other thing I think that's great about the Clown Hall is that once these guys go down there to Circus World and they say, okay, look, I've got me a Clown Hall and you got the Circus World, now let's put two and two together and make that come out five. I don't think there's any way you say no to that. The only thing you have to be afraid of if you're Circus World is these guys want to get more than their fair share at the trough, you know, and by that, I mean, I think Circus World needs to take over the Clown Hall of Fame, and I think Circus World needs to operate the Clown Hall of Fame within the confines and under the aegis of Circus World, and these guys, pay them a pretty penny if you want to, but you don't need, a couple of snouts at the trough.
All right, so you're talking about the political as well as the financial control of the Clown Hall of Fame.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, hold on for a minute. You're doing it again, Margaret.
What's that?
You're going to the Clown Hall of Fame. Every time you...
Now, Phil, don't worry, all right? I'll do me, you do you. Just as Drake said, what am I doing? Oh, that's right, I'm doing me.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well, ain't that great? But we're doing a show right now.
I'm doing me.
All right, Steve.
No, good thing somebody's doing her. Hello?
Uh-oh.
Mr. Bozell, I can assure you that the next time you're on this program, I'll have nothing to do with any interview with you. Goodbye. I'm going to sit this one out.
I guess I screwed up, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it was a good little line, though. And wasn't it, Dickman?
Yeah, but she's sitting right there. At least somebody's doing. I mean, there's a time and a place.
There's got to be a time and place, man.
Yeah, that was very ill-timed.
Yes, it was very ill-timed.
All right, Margaret, we understand. You're sitting this one out, remember?
Margaret, why don't you just sit down, have a glass. I think there's a bottle of red wine in there.
Do I look like an alcoholic? Is that what you people think?
Margaret, just. So, Steve, tell me about when the Cloud Hall of Fame was actually established.
Well, it was established in 1986, and it was in a variety of different places. Right now it's in Baraboo, and that is in Wisconsin. It's currently housed in rented office space in downtown Baraboo, where it drew
2,200.
Yes, sir. It drew 2,200.
Why can't you say that?
I'm just nervous as hell, and now I've butchered it up with Ms. Gray. Would you please tell her I'm sorry?
Yes, I will. I will communicate that. I know that you probably, you know.
No, I did nothing against her. It drew two.
Well, let's move past it. 2,200.
2,200 visitors paying $5 each.
You just said it good there.
Right, but just don't make me think about it. Because now watch, I'll think about it. It drew two.
What is it? You and the last guy, Jay Santos, with the L. We got a disease going through this building today. It's called no talk.
Wait, it's called no good talk.
Yeah, no, it's called no talk good.
Okay, great. Whatever it's called, let's make sure the CDC knows about it before we leave the studio tonight, okay? Because I think it's catching. All right, so...
That's a pretty good little line right there, too, Mr. Henry.
I'm not kidding. I mean, there's something wrong around here.
Are you saying that I've got something mental wrong with me?
Would you just let me finish interviewing you, Steven? You could go out and blow your brains out for all I care.
Thank you very much.
Told you.
He hung up.
Yeah.
Told you.
You didn't tell me anything.
Yes, I did. I told you the guy was squirrely.
You know, I'm getting a little sick and tired of trying to move an interview along. And then I got, oh, well, we get sidetracked to the point where I forget what it is we're talking about. That's what pisses me off.
Well, Phil, you need to keep notes. And
nobody should have to take notes on what the topic of the hour is. No one should have to do that. I shouldn't have to take notes. I should know. I should not be sidetracked to the point where I forget what the hell it is we're talking about. We've gone from the Clown Hall of Fame to a guy having a speech impediment to, I'll bet somebody's got to do her, to, you know, I made some smart comment. Everything but the Clown Hall of Fame. Baraboo, where's that? I find out now, Bud, thank you very much for your research, that Baraboo is not only in Wisconsin, it's where the Clown Hall of Fame is.
How am I supposed to know that?
By reading the article, so I've got the information.
Yeah.
You know, what you ought to do is quit relying on this knucklehead for the information that you need and do it yourself.
I don't have the time, man. That's why you got people producing for you. All right, we'll come back and we'll continue talking about the Clown Hall of Fame, I guess. I don't know, unless anybody's interested.
I don't think anyone could care. The only person that was interested was Bozell.
Do you want to walk in here, please?
Is he still here?
No, he's not on the air.
The only one that was interested in this was Steve Bozell, and thankfully, mercifully, thank God. And I don't believe in God, but thank God. He's no longer on the air.
Okay, folks, you figure that one out. She doesn't believe in God.
Don't point your finger at me and call me she.
He?
He.
That was a pretty good one.
Really?
Never mind.
Yeah, so we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, more on Clownland or Clown Hall or the Hall of the Clown or whatever in Baraboo, Wisconsin. It's the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back. Stephen Bozell with us on the line as we talk about Really, your business, Steve, is the construction business. I think we need to let people know that. But you, on the weekends, are a birthday clown for kids' shows. You do stand-up comedy.
I do it all, and I do it all, and I do it all. I do it twice weekly. And I've sent some cards. I don't know if you can use those, Mr. Henry. I'd appreciate if you pass those out to anybody that you know.
I certainly will, sir.
All right. But yeah, I do a clown act. I do a circus act. I don't do a circus act, although I did do a circus act that many people told me was very, very adventurous, or
it was rather bold.
Well, yeah, I mean, they said that it was never been done before as a circus act, and I did a trapeze act, and I did jumping out of a little car like a clown. It took space to do that, I always advertised, Steve Bozell works within the confines of your world, call me at, you know, and then I have my number.
I'm sorry?
This is the advertising he did for his clown, for the birthday clown?
Well, yeah, I mean, I did a birthday clown, I did a circus act, and I did stand-up comedy.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, and my slogan for the circus act was, Steve Bozell works within the confines of your world, call me at, boom, you know, XYZ. I forget the number. I think I had like 1-800-CLOWN, you know, live clown life or something. I know that I know that my wife, April, she went and she secured clown life and a couple of other names.
On the phone.
On the phone, yeah. So it would be 1-800-CLOWN-LIFE.
Okay, Stephen Bozell with us as we discuss. So what do you think about the Clown Hall of Fame? What do you think about Circus World? What do you think of the world of the circus itself? Does it have legs? Is it going to last in the 21st century?
Well, you know, Mr. Andrew, that's hard to say. I think it will. I think the circus is probably one of the greatest things that's ever happened to the human race. I mean, at a time when we desperately, desperately need to be entertained, the circuses... Man, for me, there's nothing better. There's nothing better than a circus. And I've tried to the best of my ability, try to tell people about it. I tell them and I tell them and I tell them and I tell them. And my church, which is the, Corona First Avenue Church, and I do stand-up comedy over there for the men's club, I've tried to tell them over and over. I said, if you don't have a circus... Just the better part of life is passing you by, and we've got to have a circus. We've got to get a circus in here, and we got to do it soon, or we're not going to raise the kind of money we need to raise for a 21st century church in a large metropolitan area like Los Angeles. We have got to raise money to keep the our congregants and
Are you talking about the total congregants in the church?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, just say the total congregants in the church.
Oh, okay. I was going to use a word like...
What's aggregate?
That means the total. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the total number of the aggregate... the total number of...
You got to slow down. We got a lot of people being nervous here tonight.
Yeah, I understand. I'm very nervous. I'm so nervous. I can't think. My throat... it's almost like I can't swallow.
Do you need to take... Jay, you don't have to be on the air tonight. You can take the evening off.
No, I want to. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Let me just breathe.
Now, what are you doing?
I'm just doing a breathing exercise, Mr. Andy. I'm sorry. My doctor tells me, because I ran out of Xanax, so...
I understand.
Are you sure? Phil, maybe we shouldn't have him.
Well, let's see how he does.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you doing, man?
What's that?
What are you doing?
It sounds vulgar.
It sounds what?
It sounds vulgar.
Santos, are you Bozell?
Yes, sir.
It sounds like you're doing something disgusting.
I'm just doing a breathing exercise.
A breathing exercise?
Yes, sir. God, man.
All right, I'm sorry. I take it back. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can I continue?
Yeah, then we got to do the show. How much longer will this take?
I'm just trying to calm my heart rate down. Doctor told me to do the breathing exercise. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? Can you do that somewhere other than the phone?
Can I do it somewhere other than the... Yeah, okay, fine. What's with you?
Hey, and Mr. Bozell, with all due respect, you're breathing into the phone like you're having an orgasm.
You are, Bozell.
Well, the doctor told me to breathe that way.
Well, then why don't you warn me, okay?
I'm sorry. I'll have just two more breaths I got to take, okay?
Yeah, do it away from the phone.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Come on, will you?
What happened?
You know what happened.
The doctor told me to breathe as if it's the most pleasurable thing that's ever been done.
I'm telling you, I can't win for losing tonight.
You know, the problem, Henry, is that your program is already branded as a vulgar and filthy...
I'm not trying to get you in trouble, Mr. Henry.
Let's just now talk. Can you calm down?
Hold on.
Okay.
Would you hang the phone up on him? Because I'm getting sick.
Mr. Bozell, I've got to go.
No, I'm all done. I'm all done. I swear to God.
You swear?
I swear to God, I'm all done.
That was unnecessary. I don't care. I'd love to talk to your doctor. That was making me sick to my stomach.
Well, Ms. Gray, I mean, come on. All it is a man sounding like he's just, you know...
Yeah, well, guess what, Bozell? I don't want to hear it either, okay? You sound like an animal, and I find it impinges upon my reputation as a decorated veteran of the United States Army to listen to some animal in another room sound like he's getting his ashes hauled for 5 cents an hour. I used to hear that kind of thing coming out of some of the cheapest dumps in Saigon where a lot of the officers stayed. I don't need to hear it from you.
I apologize, sir.
Okay. By the way, you just gave away a whole lot about yourself.
You're talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
Well, what are you referring to?
Well, you're talking about Saigon.
Well, I'm in Saigon. I heard that, yes. In the officers, where the officers stayed in Saigon, the whole building sounded like that on a Friday night.
Okay, thank you very much, General. Okay, Steve, back to you. Send in the clowns. Hall of Fame looks to partner with Circus World. Will this happen?
It sounds to me like it's going to happen. And, Phil, it's going to be a wonderful thing. There's going to be a whole hall after hall after hall of clown paraphernalia, of the clown support teams, of the clowns that might have been, of clowns that never were, of the great clowns, of the clowns that were, quite frankly, rotten. I mean, we're going to do it all.
Why do they call it the Hall of Fame?
Well, we're going to have a little subsection. It's not going to be a big thing, but we are going to have a subsection of Can You Believe It? It's going to be called Can You Believe It? Because I'm consulting with these guys on this, and I very much believe...
You're consulting with the guys who own the Hall of the Clown Hall?
Yes, absolutely. The Hall of Fame of the Hall of the Clown of the Fame. The Hall of Fame of the Clown. And I said, you got to have a section called Can You Believe It? A Clown That Isn't Funny, you know? And because they're about five or six. There was Roly-Poly, and this was a clown. He was a very famous clown because he just was so rotten, and nobody, you know, Roly-Poly Bully, his name was Roly-Poly Boy, and he worked out of Columbia, South Carolina mostly. I know he got down into Georgia, but mostly he did kids, he became legendary in Columbia, South Carolina doing kid parties.
What was his name again?
Roly-Poly Boy.
Roly-Poly Boy. What did he look like? What was the makeup like?
Well, it was just... He had the big eyes and big lips. He had a big ass. I'm sorry, ma'am.
No, that's all right.
He had a big fake ass. And at that time, this was the late 50s, people were, what is that about? You know, and he couldn't even explain it. He just thought it was funny.
All right. We'll be back with Stephen Bozell and more here on the Clown Hall of Fame. We're talking with him about, right now we're talking about some clowns that didn't make... What was that? Good Lord.
Christmas time.
That's great, bud.
Well.
Okay. Anyway, he was talking about clowns that weren't funny. Roly-Poly Boy. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, Stephen Bozell with us from Corona, California, as we talk with him about the Clown Hall of Fame. That's a pretty good topic for a Friday night, I think. So, Steve, we were talking about a subsection of the Clown Hall of Fame that you hope to work with the guys who are the founders of the Clown Hall of Fame. And I got to get my glasses on again. Of course, that means I guess I have to find my glasses.
Yeah, you're always like dropping them on the floor and everything.
Mr. Emma, you know, you should put on, like one of those,
Yes, put on a chain.
Oh, get out of here, will you?
Oh, he doesn't want to do that, Margaret, because he's afraid it'll make him look like an old lady.
Well, you know, you want them falling off.
I got them. I found them. Greg DeSanto. Greg DeSanto is one, and the other is, not David Hoffman. Greg DeSanto is the executive director of the International Clown Hall of Fame, and Sandy Weber. Do you know those guys?
I've not heard of those guys, no. I've never heard of them.
Okay, well, they're the ones in Baraboo. And that's Baraboo, Wisconsin. That's interesting. Why is the Clown Hall of Fame in Baraboo, Wisconsin? That's what we were talking about.
Well, the Clown Hall of Fame is in Baraboo, Wisconsin for one reason, Phil, to rehabilitate the state of Wisconsin. And I think that Greg DeSantos is a native of Wisconsin. And as you know, Wisconsin's taken it off the chin. I say that, you know, with all due respect. I know you joke around with that line, but they literally have taken some money shots.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this show tonight, but there's an awful lot of vulgarity.
I'm sorry. Did I say something?
Well, yes, sir. You know, Wisconsin took a bunch of money shots.
I apologize. Yes, that's probably pretty rough.
Yeah, this is not a stag party, sir. We're on a broadcast radio station.
I totally apologize, Mr. Henry. I'm sorry. Wisconsin has taken, they've taken it full in the face.
Wisconsin's taken some public relations hits. Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, that's not all that colorful. It sounds like anything anybody else would say.
Well, the goal here, Mr. Bozell, is to communicate, not necessarily to do poetry.
Okay. Wisconsin's taken some public relations hits because of Ed Gein, because of Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, as I said, they've had some beautiful, wonderful people that have come from Wisconsin, beautiful, wonderful people who've been writers and poets and musicians. And then you've had people that are full cannibals who would eat human flesh just as a snack. And how that, you know, and that's Wisconsin, my man. That's, you know, you go into the backwoods of Wisconsin, you're talking about guys that live in cabins and eat human flesh as a snack. What's that about? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing that cures it, the Clown Hall, or the Hall of the Clown, or however you want to call it.
What is the name of it, sir?
What's that?
What's the name of this going to be?
The Clown Hall of Fame.
Okay, let's call it that, okay? Instead of Clown Hall or the Hall of Clowns. Can we do that?
Yeah, fine. Jeez.
Phil, you know, give him a break.
What do you mean give him a break? All right, so, Steve, that's great. Tell me now, we were on the subject of bad clowns. They've got a subsection, you say, that you're working on with the guys. Clowns that weren't funny. Roly-poly boy.
That was the guy's name.
That's pretty funny.
Now, who is this roly-poly boy?
He was the clown that wasn't funny.
He was a clown that wasn't... Hey, Mr. Bozell, all you have to do is sit in on any one of the Phil Haney Show broadcasts, and you've got a whole slew of clowns that aren't funny.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Was I talking about you?
You said... I thought you were talking about... You said Phil Haney.
No, I'm talking about the Phil Haney Show.
Well, where is that?
Well, that's none of your business.
Were you talking about my show?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, boy, that's a shot.
Well, thanks a lot.
I'm kidding around, all right? I'm sort of kidding, but not totally kidding. You know what I mean? Excuse me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, Phil, you know, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. I'm just trying to find my way to 10 o'clock here now. I'm just trying to find my way home, in the words of Blind Faith. Just trying to find my way home on this show tonight. All right. So, Steve, we have of unfunny clowns. You had Roly-Poly Boy. Can you name another one?
Yeah, well, the hall there, that section B, clowns that weren't funny. Roly-Poly Boy was out of Columbia, South Carolina. And there's another one that was just from up the road in Charlotte. And his stage name was Laughmaster, and he sucked. There's not too much you can say about Laughmaster that's good.
Laughmaster.
Yeah.
That doesn't even sound like a clown name.
Well, there you go. And Laughmaster worked all the kid parties. He did banquets, buffets. He did buff jobs. And
what's a buff job?
That way, when you worked a banquet or a buffet, they called it, I got a buff job this afternoon.
Okay.
And Laughmaster sucked every which way but loose. He worked in the...
What era are we talking about for Laughmaster?
Laughmaster was the late 70s. He was well known to stink it out, and yet he kept getting work. So, I think he deserves honorable mention. And then there were other ones like Duty Head and Pee Pee Pants, stupid names, really unfunny clowns.
What makes these guys qualified for a spot in a Hall of Fame, even if it is a section for clowns that weren't funny? It's like an anti-hall. What makes these particular ones?
Well, I mean, these are the ones that people had written in about over the years, people had complained about over the years. There was even an assassination attempt on, I think, on Laughmaster. Somebody tried to take him out. He sucked so bad. I can even tell you, I've got the article here somewhere. Where's that Laughmaster? I'm going to ask my wife, April, where's that Laughmaster article? That piece on Laughmaster and Forbes? The piece on Laughmaster and Forbes? Yeah, let me see that.
Forbes?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, look, Mr. Henry, the depth and width of this thing just gets, it's frightening.
Forbes had an article on Laughmaster.
Yeah, here it is here. This is from October 7, 1979. The clown known as Laughmaster, otherwise known as Danny Sherburne, had his life threatened last night on a quiet street in Charlotte, North Carolina, as he walked across the street to his car from the Aftrome Cafe. As he attempted to get into his car, Model A raced by with two men on the running boards, and they opened up with submachine guns. Yes, sir, that's what it says here. Laughmaster, or Mr. DeBruyne, saw the car and dove into his car, thus avoiding the multiple shots. And the car then sped on and out of sight.
Did you say a Model A?
Yes, ma'am.
And this was what year?
1979.
So this is like something, it was like a...
Well, it was like he was being visited by the Al Capone gang from the past.
I don't know what that means.
Well, a Model A, sir, is an old touring car from the 20s and 30s. In other words, it would have been the kind of a car that would be driven by gangs that were doing drive-bys in the 30s. And two guys on the running boards with submachine guns.
I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, that what you've just described there is something right out of The Untouchables.
I don't know what that is.
Mr. Bozell, are you aware of the world around you?
Yes, ma'am, I am. I just don't know of all of this far-out weird stuff that you people are talking about.
It ain't far-out and weird. It's a part of American history. What you just described to us was a guy walking across the street from a diner in 1979 Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's being assaulted by guys... Let me ask you something. Does it describe what the guys were wearing?
Laughmaster didn't have his clown... He didn't have his clown suit on.
I'm not talking about Laughmaster. I'm talking... Laughmaster?
Well, you're laughing.
Well, that's true. I'm talking about the guys that shot him.
Well, they didn't shoot him.
That I got to ask you about that, too. No, but the guys that tried to shoot him.
Oh, what they were wearing?
Yeah.
They were in striped suits, spats.
Spats and striped suits.
Yeah.
That's right out of the 30s. Are you crazy, man? I mean, that's...
Mr. Renner, I don't know.
Now, here's the other thing that I think is very interesting. They had two guys with submachine guns.
Yes, sir. Thompson submachine guns.
And they didn't hit him.
No. He dove into the car, though. He seen them coming, and he dove in and pulled the door behind him.
Well, that's possible, then. I don't know what kind of car. What kind of a car was he driving?
A Humvee.
A Humvee. Yeah, that's, you know...
Well, I don't know what you're saying. You're saying that he was visited by time-traveling gangsters? Sure.
No, I'm not saying that at all. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that, you know, it almost makes sense for a clown, and they tried to kill him. And can you tell me why?
Apparently, it was the father of a little girl's birthday party that he stunk it out at. And when the father said that he wanted his money back, because there was a $500... This guy, Laughmaster, made a lot of money. It was a $500 deposit that he did not return to the father, even though he stunk it up. And he told the father, go ahead and pound it sideways, and he took off. And the father said, okay, let's just, we'll just see about that. And
the father went out and hired these guys?
No, one of them was the father.
One of the guys that was shooting?
Yes, sir. One of them was the father, and he was arrested. They arrested him. He was wearing, there's a picture of right here. He's wearing suspenders, and he's got pants that go up to his navel.
Jesus.
Well, what? I don't understand. It was 1979.
Laughmaster.
All right, well, you're talking about a bunch of guys dressed like it's the 30s, shooting up a guy in the 70s. That's too bizarre.
Yeah, there's a lot that's unsaid. There's a lot of unanswered questions here that I'd love to find.
What questions are unanswered? I can give you the answers.
Well, I don't know if you can't. Why was this guy dressed in 30s regalia?
I don't know. I didn't know that there was anything weird about what he had done.
All right, hold on, Steve.
You look exhausted, Phil.
Well, why wouldn't I be? Are you crazy? I mean, listen to this horse dung. He was attacked by two guys on the running board of a Model A touring car with submachine guns, and why? Because he wouldn't give the deposit back on a kid's party that he and the father was one of the guys wearing a striped suit and spats.
You hit me with a...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to spit.
But as soon as you went spat, it's just, God.
Here, do you want this?
Yeah, I need a napkin.
All right, you get the napkin. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. With more of the final closing thoughts, if you can call them that, of Steve Bozell here on The Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show, PhilHenryShow.com.
This song's gay. What?
I don't want you using that word anymore, okay?
What?
I don't want you using gay anymore. This is no longer okay to use, all right? This is sort of a... you know how they say that sometimes culture is sped up, it becomes a very hyper, and people think it's a freedom of speech thing. You can say whatever you want. I'm not telling you can't say it. On this show, on my show, you don't get to say it, see?
Well, but Phil, there are some people who choose to use that word.
They may use the word. You know something? There comes a time when even the freedom of speech thing can't necessarily hold back the tide of what's going to happen. You heard the famous Supreme Court case defining free speech was not yelling fire in a crowded theater. Now, everybody likes to quote that, but they don't really know what it means. See, they don't really know what it means. It means creating on purpose, provoking on purpose a reaction that is dangerous, that could be a danger to the life and limb of the people that you're addressing. Now, I don't think there's any difference between shouting fire in a crowded theater and yelling the word, the N-word. Let's say the N-word in public where there are black people. Now, somebody's going to say, well, they ought to have, I've got a right to insult them. I've got a right to my free speech. Sure, and you could say the same thing about yelling fire in a crowded theater. But there isn't any fire. Okay, so what are you saying? That there is an N-word in the area?
Well, yeah.
Okay, let's go with that. Now you've got the recipients of that information, black people saying, oh, so you are definitely addressing me in a way that is insulting. You know it. And you are saying, in point of fact, there, look, I see some N-words around here. And so, and you don't expect that there will be a reaction to that?
But there's a difference, Phil. The difference is the fire is something that is a real threat. Because it's a fire. You're saying the real threat in this situation is the reaction of people. And those people, they can control that reaction.
So what you're telling me then is the following thing. Let me say anything I want. When it comes to people, they should be able to just hear it and not do a thing, because that's what people should do. When it comes to a fire, which is not a people, but then again, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. The fire does not exist. So, again, the onus is on the people and their reaction.
What do you mean the onus is on the people and their reaction?
Because if you say fire, even whether it exists or it doesn't, the people control their behavior. And so if you're asking black people to control their behavior when they hear the N-word, then I think Phil is saying you could ask other people to control their behavior when they hear the word fire.
But this is a life and limb situation.
Nonetheless, you can still control yourself so that you do not hurt other people.
And what you're doing, Margaret, in both cases is you're holding the person who uttered the words, they are free and clear. They're not responsible at all. So the guy that yells fire, even though he knows there isn't a fire, he's okay because the people that heard that word fire should be behaving in a controlled manner so as not to take anybody's life very, very calmly and collectively leaving the theater. And the guy that yells N-word, who knows full well that that's an insulting and inflammatory term, he's held unaccountable. And the people hearing that word, once again, should modulate their emotions, keep themselves very calm, and allow that the effect of that word to pass over them and not react. In both cases, you're asking people to behave in a calm, cool, and collected manner in the face of a provocation. The courts have ruled that that is not a reasonable thing to ask of people.
Well, I'm not saying that I want to, you're talking about freedom of speech.
I'm talking about freedom of speech, yeah. But the court has ruled that there are unreasonable provocations. There are mendacious, if you will, which is the same thing as saying there are dishonest exhortations designed to inflame people, and that is not allowed by law. That is not protected speech.
Hey.
What is he doing?
Cut it out, bud, will you?
That's pretty good. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I just came up with it.
Well, it sounds like you pulled it out of your you-know-what.
Oh, it does.
I don't think it sounds that way at all. I think it sounded very reasonable, and I'm very glad that Phil brought it up because it's clarified some things in my mind that I believed for a long time.
What's that?
That you're a liberal.
Oh, so that's it.
I'm kidding.
Well, I'm a liberal, too, and I was simply trying to see the other side of this. Why is that General Schwarzkopf on TV?
Because it's General Schwarzkopf on TV.
Really? Did you know that he's dead?
Really? Did you know they have a thing called film?
Really? Did you know they have a thing called the respect of the dead and not...
What about it?
Really? Did you know they have a thing called they have shown respect to him and now they're still showing him on film?
Really? Did you know that... Never mind. His family could be watching this?
Really? Did you think that they maybe don't mind? Huh? Oh, we've just got told to shut up.
Who told us to shut up?
Nikki did.
Really? Is she...
Will you just never mind? All right, thank you very much. Is Steve Bozell gone?
Yeah, he hung up.
Oh, that's right, he hung up on us. All right, thanks a lot, Steve, for hanging up on me. One other item here. The stunning execution of Kim Jong-un's powerful uncle strips China of its most important link to North Korea's leadership and deepens concerns over how the unruly neighbor will proceed on Beijing's key issues of nuclear disarmament and economic reform. Facing heightened uncertainty, Beijing will likely avoid for now any response that might boost panic or paranoia in Pyongyang, where China is both valued and resented as a key backer of Kim's regime. It's like when you have a gas leak. You want to be very, very careful not to set off any sparks, said Jing Dong-won, an expert on Northeast Asian security. What, bud?
What kind of name, Jing Dong-won?
Don't worry about it. Jing Dong-won, an expert on Northeast Asian security at the University of Sydney. At the same time, China is likely dusting off its contingency plans for instability or even a regime collapse that could see thousands of refugees swarming across its border. There you go. What did I tell you last night? You didn't have to wait for this article to come out. You heard me say it.
Good for you, Rush.
Yeah, Phil, you know, you've got a very good view thing, but you don't want to be seen as another Limbaugh with the whole my analysis thing.
I'm not saying that. I'm just, I pride myself on looking at current events, and I said to you, I said, look at this. You know, the Chinese are the guys that hold the cards here, man. And if they see stuff going down below the border there, and that's the whole reason why the military won't act. If the military goes in and strikes and takes out these leaders and sets up a military dictatorship, they're afraid the Chinese will come in and take the whole shoot and match over.
Yeah, but what if the Chinese say, yeah, it's bitching, we want the military to do it?
What? I doubt that.
Well, why do you doubt that? You could, well...
I don't know. I don't know what would the. But the point is, the Chinese have got the cards in this situation. They're the guys that you got to. They're the guys you got to talk to. They're the ones who say, "Hey, yo, Peking. Hey, what do you think, man? Huh?
Well, you know, I don't know."
So.
What a racist.
Why do you call that racist?
Well, I don't feel it. Just, you know, with the whole buck teeth.
Oh. All right, folks, thank you very much for being with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll see you tomorrow. Oh, Monday night. It's Saturday's ahead. I may be rolling out to the desert in my brand-new ride, you know.
Got to sell a new short, man.
I got a new short, and I'm going to go check it out tomorrow. For now, Phil Henry, Dick Clark. So long, everyone.